Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Doug, this is Rhythm of the Night from Last Dragon. Showing off. Step out into the street where all of the action is right there at your feet. Well, I know a place where we can dance the whole night away. Underneath the electric star.
Kind of gets you thinking about a TMA Live in Bridgeton with Janine.
With Janine. Hold on, this is a boy. Wait, let go.
Yeah, Doug, stop. No, I want to keep going, though, a little bit, because I want to do a deep dive on this.
And then I'm going to
hold Michael Wacha accountable about his fifth inning performances. But let me get into this.
That's the xylophone, right? Look out on the street
now. The party's just is this song about a guy with a coke problem?
I don't know. I haven't really been listening to it.
Well, that's why I want you to... Under the street lights, the scene is being set. A night for romance, a night you won't forget. So come join the fun. This ain't no time to be staying on. See?
Ooh, there's too much going on. What are you talking about? I'm just saying you can't... You want to dance to the beat of the rhythm of the night. You can't do it anymore.
Sure.
You can't do it anymore.
Okay, but people initially thought Puff the Magic Dragon was about a dragon. Think about it. Dance until the morning light. Okay, I'm going to stay up all night. Why? Because I'm on the white.
I don't think it means that. This is a guy who loves to dance. He loves percussion.
Listen, they come up with the music, and then they say, okay, now we need some lyrics to go with it. Something that will make us all lots of money. That's all it is. There's not always a hidden meaning.
Don't they want to just do sports talk radio?
They don't have the chops.
Professional athletes.
They don't have... Just a lot not, of these artists, a lot of these... The top musical acts do not have the chops for sports talk radio. And that's why they do what they do. And that's why we do what we do.
Doug, you are great. Statement of the day. Mm-hmm. Preach, brother.
What do you think Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds was about?
That was about Elton John trying to make a little bit more money.
He needed it.
Wasn't that the Beatles?
That was the Beatles, yeah.
I thought that was Elton John.
I think he covered it at a concert in Mississippi Nights in '88. Guys, I'm driving. Thanks. That's sent for my car.
Everyone's driving. No one sits around the hearth, sits next to the fireplace and listens to this with their family. Are you kidding me? Everyone's driving. So they're alone. And so they can turn it off when it gets too vile.
What?
That's what they do.
This is a good question for Tim. I'm getting married in a couple of weeks. Quick question. What would you old bags want to hear the DJ play?
Rhythm of the Night?
Yeah, the song.
That and also Brick House.
Oh, yeah, Commodores.
That's big at weddings. And, of course, when I'm at a wedding and I hear that, I get up to the dance floor and I just cut loose, Doug.
Now, the whites like the electric slide.
I wouldn't mind hearing the chicken dance.
Oh, yeah.
That's a cock staple.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah, Mike. Gathering.
Oh. Hello. Hello, Mike.
Hello, Mike.
I was just on radio talk with Carter.
How did it go?
Well, as I tell her about Sarah, I'm here in town for next month, and she don't like it.
No. I understand that.
Yeah. What about Brett Cecil changing his number to 27?
I don't know. Mm. Kind of stink. They lost.
Yes, they did. Yeah.
Hold them accountable, bro.
Not been a good year so far, Mike.
Matter of opinion.
Time to turn it around, though, fella.
Yeah, they lost, so yeah. They stink.
Well,
you know,
there's lots of time, though. There's more than half a season to play. Maybe they can rally.
They need mommy milk.
Oh, come on. They don't. They need some some bullpen
hey,
help.
God.
Yeah.
You got baby peanuts.
Put him down. Put him down.
Nice little meow at the end.
Mike Lee has been
suspended. It's like an exclamation point.
He'll say, how long? I'll say a period of 2 days' time. Thank you, Hot Shots, for the leather suspension log eel. Thank you, Right Business Products, for the ink pen.
You know, the Penguin, my brother, he's a radio executive, will say, how's that show of yours going? I go, pretty good. I'm not trying to brag, but we've incorporated a meow sound effect.
They doing that out in L.A.? Yes. Hell no.
He pretends like he's not impressed, but you know they're doing it, Tim.
They may not have the technology. Did you see that stat where the Cardinals have now lost 16 games by two runs or more, and it's the most this early in the season by any team since 1895?
Really? Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but back in the in fairness with the advanced metrics and stuff, back then they did not issue spirit wins.
They kept score.
They didn't issue the spirit wins, which changed the whole dynamic.
You know, I got out of my comfort zone, Doug, and I wrote a sports post on the fan page last night and expressed a sentiment that I'm thinking to myself, because what's the upside? You know, what am I getting out of this?
Sure.
I don't have stake money in Facebook. That's the thing. I don't.
You make posts, we make money.
And so I'm like, man, I'm just kind of sitting there, you know, I'll give my thoughts. I'll see where the people are. And I said, I'm in a weird spot as a Cardinal fan because it's the first time in a really long time where I kind of don't mind seeing them lose, in particular to the Brewers since they're in first place, because I think it's in the best interest of the organization to fall out of the playoff race so that they do sell, because I think that is a necessity. I think it would have been great if they could have done it last year, because I didn't think that team was a championship caliber team. But since they really were in the thick of the wild card race, I totally get why they didn't. But there was no National League Central to get that year because the Cubs were so far ahead. Now it's the inverse. The wild card is actually 9 games between the second wild card Diamondbacks and the Cardinals. And it's the Central that is, at least relatively speaking, reachable just because everybody's kind of average. But I would love to see, assuming that there isn't some, you know, out of nowhere turnaround, and I just don't see it happening, but I certainly didn't see what happened in 2011 happen either. But and then they get some younger players for some assets who would really be of great value to teams that do have championship aspirations and realistic aspirations. I think Lance Lynn would be a hell of a commodity for a few teams you can think of right off the bat, whether it be O or Rosenthal. It seems like the Nationals would be a perfect spot for one of them to go. You know, when we had Derek Gould on last week, he said Matt Carpenter. I feel like the analogy and I don't know if I've made it on the air. I know when I wrote it last night, I feel like this is reminiscent, and I realize a lot of our audience is, you know, in their 20s, but it's reminiscent of the early 1990s Cardinals, where you had Ray Lankford, Brian Jordan, Todd Zeal, Bernard Gilkey, a lot of guys who had a lot of hype attached to them, but as their careers progressed, their value declined because the potential that gave them value was no longer there, as they were clearly more average to above average Major League Baseball players. And I feel like that's what the most part of the Cardinal roster now is made up of. The weird spot for the Cardinals, however, is you have a couple of guys who you're not going to be trading, who are cornerstones of this team's incredible run, in particular over the last decade, although Wainwright was here in the trade in 2003, and Molina got things done going in when he was the backup to Matheny in 2004, in Adam Wainwright and Yadier Molina. And you just went out and signed one of the most prized free agents in the offseason in Dexter Fowler. And what are you going to do with those guys? So you can't really go all Houston Astros and complete rebuild. But I'm curious if the organization will do that. As we heard John Mozeliak say last week, Friday, and this was just parting ways with a, you know, third base coach, he hasn't been in this position in his decade as general manager. And Bill DeWitt Jr. really hasn't been a seller or in the position to be a seller. I don't know if he ever has been. So I'm curious how the organization will balance their goal to be competitive year in and year out with also trying to capitalize on some commodities that are at their highest value in July 2017. Your thoughts?
I just don't see the Cardinals as an organization being part of a fire sale. Now, I think when there's
talk that they could be
would
sellers.
Would you consider trading Lance Lynn and Trevor Rosenthal and Matt Carpenter fire sale?
Yes.
Okay.
I would. Right. But I could see them deciding, look, Reyes is coming back next year. We think we have some guys in the lower levels that could be starters for us. I could see them, when they say sellers, getting rid of Lance Lynn. To me, I don't think they're that far away. I think they're the way the team is constructed right now, they kind of are hamstrung themselves. Like, for example, if you have Carpenter at first base, there's no room for like a big power hitter. I would love to see some kind of move where maybe he gets moved and you bring in a middle of the order guy, which is what I said earlier. That's what they lack, is a middle of the order guy. You hope Piscotty could grow into it. It didn't happen. He went through some things, but that's what I'd like to see. And then if you keep Lance Lynn and you have Carlos Martinez, and
do you really think that there's a chance they're keeping Lance Lynn? I don't think there's anyone in the world.
I don't. But I'm just saying my wish list. If they keep Lance Lynn, because I forget the stat, but someone said through how many games his ERA since and they went back sometime is under 3. I mean, this guy gives you innings and quality innings. You know what you're going to get, and that's a hard thing to find. If you bring him back and you have Carlos Martinez, I'm a big believer in Alex Reyes coming back and being himself. That's a pretty good front of the rotation. And you bring in a bat. What I'm saying is I don't think they're that far away where there needs to be a fire sale. I would like them to keep Lynn if my wish were what they were going to do, and then get a middle of the order bat. Easier said than done, I get that. Then I think they're right where they want to be with the addition of Fowler and Carpenter. Now we're seeing the kind of offense we thought. I don't think they're that far away. Maybe that's the rights holder shuffle.
I'd like to see him keep Lynn, too. I mean, if they're going to throw $80 million at Mike Leake, I wonder if they have another $80 million to give to Lynn, if that would get it done. Because that's a guy who's been nothing but steady since the first time you put him out there. That's the kind of guy you want in the rotation, is Lance Lynn. You know what you're getting there, and it's a quality pitcher.
And Reyes and Martinez as your top three starters, that's the makings of a very, very good rotation.
Yeah, but they're being teased by some of these guys. I can see why it's such a hard decision, because just about the time you think, well, maybe Carpenter's not a middle of the order hitter, and now he comes alive and now he's hitting the ball, and you think Wong, well, I guess maybe he's not going to be that guy, and then he gets red hot and he's over 300, and you think Piscotty's got to be better than what he is right now. Grichuk has to be better. Jerko, you don't know what to think of Jerko. Diaz, you think he's got to be more like the guy he was last year than this year, isn't he? So some of these guys who they thought they were well-positioned to have a younger veteran team this year, they thought they were there, clearly, and it just hasn't worked out.
And as for this season, I just don't believe the Brewers are going to end up winning the Central. I don't. No disrespect to that organization. I think someone's going to get hot, maybe the Cubs. I think the Cubs have a ton of resource to go out and get help for their starting rotation. I just don't think the Brewers are going to run away with this, so... Based on that, I would vote against a fire sale. And again, I just think Lance Lynn, if you look at the free agent pitcher going to be available, Lance Lynn might be at the top of the list. You know, Arrieta's not been himself. And you have a chance to get him. You keep him and you build that starting rotation. Then I think the future is bright. And you piecemeal the rest of the rotation with what you have left. Obviously, Leake is there. You have Wayne, whatever. And maybe some of the younger pitchers or trade chips. But get a middle-of-the-order guy. I think that would change everyone's worldview.
Well, if you're Lance Lynn, I'm sure you're thinking, I'm testing the market. There's no way I'm not going to go on the free market and see who's going to throw outrageous money at him. So whether they want to keep Lynn or not, it's pretty much up to Lynn.
Agreed.
So
I said that would be on my wish list.
Yeah, I would want him, too. I would definitely want him, too.
I could go in there and say, hey, Lance, how about a hometown discount?
Have you seen these fans?
You'd do that for the club?
Yep. I'm a rights holder.
Why does Grichuk have to be better? He has been the same guy his entire career. Stop over-projecting these guys. That's from Kevin's brother, Jack Demoff.
Well, he does have to be. But last year he had, 24 homers, and he didn't even play the whole year.
Guys, it sounds like Doug is basing his opinion on hope. Hope is not a strategy. That's from 573. Hope is a town in Arkansas.
Yeah, that's right. That's what it is.
Thanks, Plowhawk.
Well, I mean, you hope everybody plays up to their capabilities.
But what you're saying...
What else can you do?
I do think, I mean... The way the season got off, like, Fowler didn't hit. He's starting to hit now. Carpenter obviously has been crazy good since going back to the leadoff spot. But early on, nothing broke the. None of these guys performed up to the way. That's really your point. Is it all happened at once? Where basically none of these guys played the way people thought they might.
Right. They're almost all playing below their career averages, and some guys significantly below their career averages. And that stat about blowing two-run leads, the most in 120 years, that would tell you that you're not getting enough out of your starting pitchers or your bullpen. Now, when they, you know, as great as Leake was for the first month and a half, now when he goes out, you're kind of wondering what you're going to get. And same with Waka. This is two or three or four starts in a row where you're not sure what you're going to get out of Waka. So suddenly the big strength of the team, the strength that kept you right near the top for 2 months, you're kind of losing that. So they may need pitching as well.
And that's why, since they're, in my opinion, not a championship caliber team. Now, you have to allocate some form of probability to it, unless you're like the Phillies, where you're going, that's a 0% operation. I would allocate something along the lines of between 1% and 2% on the chance of the Cardinals winning the World Series this year. The better probability for the organization to win a world championship is to take one step backward, to take two forward. And they haven't had to do that in a long time. I don't even know when the last time it really happened. But that's why I'm truly intrigued, not necessarily by the games, because really the team bores me, but by what takes place over the next 6 weeks between now and the trade deadline. As Derek Gould said on the show last week, the organization is at a crossroads. Now, what he was talking about regarding a crossroads was the team is going to have to, in order to get a player they really want, part ways with a player that they really don't want to trade. I don't think that's the crossroads. I think the crossroads is the organization wants to continue to bring 3 million plus people through the turnstiles every year, but it's in the best interest of the organization to take a step backward in order to take two forward. And I think that requires trading some players who at the start of the season you thought may be here for a good long while, but as things have progressed, you can't afford to have another also-ran year where commodities leave and you don't get anything in return for them. And that's my position on it. And I hope, for that sake, that they are far enough out of the National League Central race that they really don't have a tough decision to make, because I see a surge in which this team is a championship team in 2017.
Even if things continue to go bad and they're out of it, I just wonder what the extent of the seller's mode will be for them. You know, to me...
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's a weird spot when you have Wainwright, Molina, and Fowler.
Right.
That's unique.
Kind of locked in.
To some of these other teams that have been full-out fire sale, you know, where you have two, you know, I don't know if they'll be... Well, Wainwright's not going to be a Hall of Famer, but Cardinal Hall of Famers for certain. So there's... that with the organization and the fan base, and then a very expensive free agent. And as I've said a couple of times, and I wrote last night, and I could be wrong, this make crystal clear, this is part intel and then part, you know, connecting some dots, and I could be wrong on it, but I think the organization knew going into the offseason last year that they had to get a center fielder. And they identified Adam Eaton as the guy that they really wanted, and then they saw what the price was in order to get him that the Nationals paid, and they're like, holy crap, but we know we've got to get an outfielder, and now we got to overpay for somebody who we didn't necessarily put at the top of the list, and then that player may not have had St. Louis at the top of his list, and so you wound up overpaying out of, oh, crap, we got to get somebody in here, and then also this person was more interested in playing in, you know, more cosmopolitan city, and you're committed long term and had to overpay years and dollars in order to get him here. And I love Dexter Fowler as a person. I think the world of him, but again, it's business. And so had they been a little further out of it last year, to the point that they could have been sellers last year, could have gotten something for Matt Holliday. Now, he was injured, so how much are you realistically going to get? But longer-term view, would the organization have felt what I think was some legitimate fan base pressure to make sure that they got somebody this offseason? And so when you're doing business with emotion, oftentimes you make bad business deals. And that's why the Fowler thing I didn't like. I love Dexter Fowler being here, but not at that price. And so now I think you're kind of stuck with that.
See, I don't think it was necessarily about emotion. I think that they looked at the resources they had to get somebody, and they valued their prospects higher than they did money because they had money to spend. They'd rather dump some cash and get guys. They did it with Cecil, probably overpaid for him, but that was a need. With Zach Duke being hurt, they went out, they took care of that with money, and then they get Fowler with money, and they didn't have to part with prospects, as you said, with the Eden thing. I mean, it was a crazy amount to pay. So I think part of that factored in, look, we have ample cash. Let's use that resource to get the guy in here.
Well, but the issue that becomes when you do sign guys to those kinds of deals, and to an extent we saw it with Peralta. If you remember in the offseason, we were talking about Peralta, and I just was like, this is a guy, and I think he hit cleanup in the opener, which, you know, and then Molina was hitting cleanup. I'm just like, God, this is a problem. It's not like there's some guy who's out who's going to come back and hit cleanup. This is what you're trotting out there. This is a problem. You get these guys and you sign them to deals, and don't get me wrong, I realize the Peralta deal was front-loaded to make him less of a liability potentially health-wise and career age-wise in the back end of the deal. But, you know, once you have guys on the roster, then you want to give them a little more leeway if you're paying them that much to get some return. And you've seen that around baseball, and I just worry that's what you're going to be in a position with Dexter Fowler, you know, who knows when, but in a few years. And that's the overpaying element that I don't like, because there is a price to pay. I realize the price isn't prospects. The price is having an albatross on your payroll and on your roster. And when these guys age, that's what I'm talking about. I mean, Johnny Peralta, the fact that he was even in the position that he was in to be part of this team, just like crap. That's why I was so high on what about going out and getting a guy like Todd Frazier for an organization that clearly was in rebuild mode in Chicago. And then, you know, if you can trade Peralta or DFA and whatever the case might be, but if you have, you know, a couple of bats that are a little, you know, blah, that are bottom of the order hitters for championship caliber teams, you can't afford to have Johnny Peralta in the lineup too. And it sure as hell can't have Johnny Peralta hit in the middle of your lineup. And that's what they went into the season with.
He was our thunderstick, Tim.
Yeah, I guess he was.
I just, I'm not going to lie. Early on, I thought that the top three guys in the lineup, and, you know, they haven't been what we thought, that on-base percentage, and Piscotty, who I thought was an emerging talent, good runners in scoring position, average guy, could grow into that cleanup spot, and it just hasn't worked out that way. So, I said there was a concern that there is no bat that you fear in the middle of the lineup, and I do think they need that.
Yeah, they thought the front of the order would be the real strength, and there's not one of them hitting over 250. Not one of them. That's got to be the poorest top three hitters in baseball.
And in fairness, now since they flip-flop, whether or not that is the reason, 1-2, those guys are producing. But then you go to the middle of the order that doesn't have that middle of the order type punch.
And Aledmys Diaz's bat speed, I've been reading articles about this because he's my fantasy baseball shortstop and therefore paying closer attention to him the most, is down from last year. And I don't think most people were expecting him to come on the scene in 2016 with the kind of production he did. And then you go, wow, what's this regression? But unlike, say, a Matt Carpenter, where you have a healthy sample size from which to go, well, what's going on with Matt Carpenter? With Diaz, realistically, you have 1 year to which you can compare. So how good is Aledmys Diaz? How good is Colton Wong? How good is Stephen Piscotty? And that's the spot that brings me back to the early 1990s. Where it's like, okay, we've heard that Todd Zeal is going to be great. We've heard that Bernard Gilkey is going to be great. We've heard that Ray Lankford, Brian Jordan are going to be great. Doug loved, I remember you loved Rene Arocha.
I didn't really.
Oh, you were like a rights holder for Arocha.
Right. He was a veteran Cuban right-hander.
But you loved him.
Well, he was just kind of okay. He was just a guy.
So
you were a honk for him.
I wasn't.
Get something while you can. And the Rosenthal thing is tough because nobody like throws in the name Carlos Martinez. Everybody kind of recognizes what you got there. That's, you know, that's generational kind of talent. But with Rosenthal, it's like, God, when he's right, you know, you're not going to find many closers better. But at the same time, my God, ah, he's got such value, in particular to a team like Washington. The thing is, Washington, I think, is going to be able to talk with a number of teams regarding closer. I was when Gabe was in town for that Mizzou golf tournament, we were talking about the Royals, and I'm like, don't you think Herrera's going to wind up with Washington? It seems like kind of an obvious one. The thing is about the American League Central is it's kind of a hand job too.
Yeah, the Royals are hot.
And the Royals, even though they're only three games under 500, they've won five in a row, or even though they are three games under 500, I should say, they're only four games out and have won five in a row. That's up for grabs. And I actually would go so far as to say it's up for snatch grabs.
I wouldn't say that.
That's what a cool
I don't think it's up for snatch grabs.
Minnesota Twins. I mean, wouldn't it be fun to see the Twins and Brewers do battle in October?
Boy, that would have the whole country stopping what they're doing to get in front of a TV.
I wonder
at some
if Fox
point.
Would say to Joe Buck, you know what, take this one off. We'll put Tom Brenneman on it. If you focus not. On the NFL.
Probably not.
Doug, it's unbelievable because we have the DB Sports Bar Exit Poll.
The exit poll is powered by DB Sports Bar and Soulard.
This is a great question.
Ooh, interesting question.
I didn't care for the question.
I don't know. This is a hard question.
That's the stupidest question ever, Doug. Just shut up for the segment.
Okay. DB's has awesome food and drinks served by the finest ladies in St. Louis.
Iggy, Plowhawk, who's on the read? Plowhawk.
I'll do the read.
Doug, these are going to be like five or six questions for you just to opine.
Okay.
All right, one.
All right.
When CMAR is going to be out, I do believe next month, Iggy will be producing the show. Who would you like him to book as a guest?
This is essentially now a show meeting being handled on the air.
What it feels like.
I think it's a good question now. Maybe somebody obscure that is kind of in Iggy's wheelhouse that you'd like to at least have him attempt to book.
And it gives me 6 weeks to work on it, so go ahead.
Could we get Larry Storch?
Oh, yeah, from F Troop.
Yeah.
Still alive?
I don't know. It'd be a nice little thing to research.
And you wanted the woman who played Catwoman on? We were talking about her yesterday.
Yeah, Julie Newmar.
Right. Get her?
She'd be fine. Raquel Welch would be a good one.
Maybe talk to Gabe about his top 30 Mizzou games. Hey, he just released another one today. And you know what it was? Want to take a guess?
I wouldn't have any
idea. The loss to Oregon State in the Sun Bowl.
Oh, wow. Boy, the memories I have of that game. They were in the Sun Bowl?
What about the guy that did those infomercials and commercials where he sold that...
ShamWow?
The ShamWow guy. Let's check in with him because I know he ran into a little legal trouble, accused of doing something.
Right.
Let's check in and say, hey, what new projects are on the horizon? ShamWow guy.
Corby Jones, I guess.
Didn't he kill himself?
Well, and there goes that guess.
That was like sad. It was almost like Oliver asking for more.
More?
Ah, porridge. You want
porridge? I don't think he killed himself.
One of those infomercial guys did. All right, I'll put down ShamWow.
One guy died from a cocaine overdose on a flight, had a heart attack or something.
Did he?
He was British, though.
Happens to the best of them. That's my credo. No, yeah, question number two.
Number two. Your favorite superhero sidekick of all time.
Oh, Wonder Woman had that beautiful lesbian Xena the Warrior Princess, and I always got a sense that they would trib in the Australian bush. So, Xena.
Xena wasn't the sidekick, though.
If you look at it.
She was a star.
Still.
Well, that's not the sidekick.
I don't like superheroes.
I don't either. I can't get into
it. So I'm going to use an old show just to underscore the fact that I'm a relic and no one knows. Hawaii 5-0. Jack Lord was the dapper star of that show.
Right.
His sidekick was Dano. And he would always say, Dano, round up every grain of sand on Waikiki Beach. And just, he would make him do all the busy work. And Dano never complains on Dano.
And they say, book him, Dano. What's the charge? Murder one.
Dano.
Yeah, that's how it all ended.
Watch this. Murder was the case that they gave me, Snoop Dogg.
You don't remember Hawaii 5-0.
I'm aware of the show. I didn't watch it. I was watching Different Strokes.
You like the choice of Dano, though.
Yeah, it was a great. That was the obvious pick. Yeah, Plowhawk.
I think you dove into this with Travis on the call early. Will you order the McGregor-Mayweather fight?
Yeah, I will. Or I'll go to somebody's house. Well, that's August 26th. That's the day before Anna Marie's due date. Would she be pissed if I didn't go to the...
No, you do what you need to do. You send a message, birth or no. Yeah. It's about you.
Thank you.
All right?
Thank
you. Can have a first child many, many times over the course of your life. This fight only comes up once.
Good and, for you.
And when the boy king arrives, that's all over.
Right.
Over, I understand.
Over, over.
When it
so
arrives, we'll all follow the star and we'll make a trip to the hospital.
Oh, like the Magi.
Right. We'll bring our frankincense and myrrh.
How do you spell Magi, bro?
M-A-J-I?
What do you think? M-A-G-I?
I don't know. That would be just Maggie, I think.
I would order if I wasn't working out of curiosity. I just can't see it. Mayweather is such a good defensive fighter with such fast hands. You're telling me a guy who sort of boxes is going to be able to touch him. I just don't buy it, but I would order it for the curiosity.
But you know what? You don't really have to order it because nowadays someone on Facebook Live or on Periscope will order it and they'll hold their phone.
But that's a crime.
They'll hold their phone up to it and you can watch it that way.
Plowhawk, do you have any other questions?
Just one final one. A condiment you could not live without. Let's say
ketchup.
One condiment.
I just shipped ketchup.
Pick.
I just shipped ketchup.
Ketchup. Even though I frown on people putting it on hot dogs. You can put ketchup on hot dogs up until you're 8 years old. Once you turn 8, you put mustard on it, and you enjoy being an American.
I put ketchup on hot dogs, as you should, if
not
I ever eat a hot dog.
Not as versatile as the
Boy,
Heinz
he hates
57
America.
Sauce.
Yeah, I noticed that.
Barbecue sauce is big because sometimes you'll get a piece of meat that you really want to eat because you're hungry, but it's dry, and the barbecue sauce can save it. Ketchup can't save a dry steak. Ketchup cannot do that. Ketchup can do a lot of things,
yes,
but
can.
It cannot save a dry steak.
And that's it, since I know we have...
Right, well, because we have the Bert Early Cutlery Cuts of the Week. We had a hell of a week here. You know, it's kind of fun to see things come together when we get together
Even
over the week.
We just saw them come together with Iggy's drop.
Totally different thing. Totally
Similar
different
type
thing.
Of
totally
time
different
killer.
Because we're sitting there on my patio in Carport Village last Saturday going, God, how can we have a good week this week? And now you'll hear the Bert Early Cutlery Cuts of the Week, and you'll go, yeah... You know what? The boys were able to execute the strategy. Take a listen, Doug, would you?
Cuts of the Week are brought to you by Bertarelli Cutlery. Visit them on the Hill, online at BertarelliCutlery.com, or follow them on Facebook or Twitter at STL Knives. Cut one.
I had a lesbian friend get married the other day.
Did you go to the wedding?
A co-worker. I did go to the wedding. It was good. It was cool.
A lot of half lesbians there?
They're actually, I got to be honest with you, like the chicks that got married are what you call lipstickers, for sure.
Lipstickers.
I mean, they're not like the Bulls. They're not like...
Not like Rachel Maddow.
I mean, well, no, nothing like Rachel Maddow
no.
or like A League of Their Own or anything.
League of Their Own.
Cut two.
Shrubs? Shrubs?
Not deep shrub.
Is it in the shrub area?
It's like on my waist. It's kind of close.
All right, interesting.
That's neat.
So it's like if your shrubs were the United States, the tattoos California. Is that accurate? Is that fair?
What?
Is that fair? No, I think it makes sense. You know, it makes sense. But real quickly, have you ever been with a woman?
Cut three.
And who was the one on this bicycle journey that had the knowledge of the pineapple?
Well, it was actually
sir.
An adult. Because my bike had a basket. I ended up picking up a pineapple, and. Put it in my basket and my bike, and an adult, I would say middle age, around 35, 36.
That a boy.
Not middle age.
And kind of explained the situation at hand. Because he was a
How
good,
old were you?
I was 14, but...
Okay. What you met was not someone sharing knowledge. You met a predator. Okay?
No, he's not a predator.
You met a predator.
He's not a predator.
Right.
Cut four.
Well, Vince Ferrara deserves congratulations, it says.
Farzi.
The Knoxville radio host has been added as a play-by-play announcer for the SEC Network. He's expected to call select games for the network. The additional work won't preclude him from hosting his radio program.
Well, now that's a good gig for him.
I do believe in charity, and I do believe in giving back to the community. And one of the things that this station will do that's different than any other radio stations, I think, in St. Louis is we're going to donate time on our times that we don't use the station or where it's not a profitable thing for us to do or whatever. And it's going to be Sunday mornings. It's going to be called Donating Back to the Community Charity. Now, how that will happen, we haven't yet worked out, but I do believe in it.
Cut five.
I don't take it for granted. I don't take it lightly.
No.
And I love my family and my friends, and I try and do my best. Like, my intentions, I always try and set the right intention every morning.
Yes.
But I'm human, and yes. I'm living under this crazy microscope.
Yes.
Oh my.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Oh my.
Yes.
This kid.
Yes.
Stop
yes.
it.
Yes.
And I made that choice, but it's not always like.
Yes. Yes.
Please use that as a prop. Please just clip off the yes, 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 and every time Tim talks, we'll play that.
Yes.
Cut six.
Let me ask you this question.
All right.
How do you personally feel about your feet?
How did I personally feel about
your feet?
My feet?
How do you feel about your feet?
They're kind of rough.
God, this is so hot.
Cut seven.
I guarantee you Robin was banging that.
Well, let me tell you. Remember, I'm only 15 and a half as Robin, okay? I mean, I'm all-American apple pie antiseptic citizens of Gotham.
But on the show, 21. Give me a bottom line in one day. You and Adam, the most you ever hooked up with in one day.
You mean villains?
Well, add villains.
Are you talking about them?
Villains and then add in chicks.
Are you still back at that? Are you...
Iggy, do you mind rapping? I'm sorry. We have to move on for a live show.
Sure.
Uh-oh. Thank you, citizen.
All right.
Automobile.
Thanks, buddy.
Thank you, buddy.
Doug, that's how you do it. But that's how you do it.
Still screaming to the Batmobile. 50 years later.
He's worth $2 million. You'd be screaming to the Batmobile also, you liar.
He's probably never done had to do anything else.
So what? So you embrace it.
It's a little much on a radio interview 50 years later. I would not, of course I would embrace it. Of course you would revel in that and take the money and run.
Won't it be fun like in 50 years you're doing like a radio tour and somebody yells, free Dotem, and you're like, oh yeah, free Dotem. Yeah, and you're doing that.
50 years
I got
now.
News for you. That is your future. 90 years old going, bottom down.
You know.
Sorry.
I don't know if I can spit that out if I'm drooling in a corner with a shawl over my legs.
Where are my shoes?
That day's coming.
Someone
it's coming
stole my
quickly.
Shoes.
My time. Oh, my time is short.
Yeah.
I just got a great idea. We're going to do a video of what we would all look like 40 years from now.
Are we going to do that video? Doug, are you up for that?
I'll be dead.
Doug and I will be corpses.
40 years? That's a long time.
Say 40 years from now, what we're all doing, we'll just have like a reunion. Pretend like it's a reunion. You'll be in your corner with your shawl drooling. I'll write the script.
Doug, I got to be honest with you. I'm not sure anybody's going to be around.
No.
We can just show a few shots of some urns.
Yeah, 4 years would be a better target. Yeah.
20, maybe.
Guys, the cat just gave the smartest answer about ketchup I've ever heard. Thanks, Mailroom Mike.
Well, that's true. Ketchup is great, but it's not for hot dogs past the age of 8. You can have ketchup
on your
hot dog. You
don't get to decide.
I do. On this
you
one,
don't.
I do.
Doug, this is Adam.
Yes.
I haven't been listening.
Okay.
I took off work to cook a brisket. But you guys want Lucas Black? You want an interview with Lucas Black? I'll get him.
No, thanks.
Tim Bishop texted me, said you guys were talking about baby names.
Doug?
No, we weren't talking about baby names.
Let me tell you two things about baby names. One, James, nope. Doug, no frickin' way. Timothy Michael, it's on the table.
What's wrong with you, boy?
So that's it, you know. So I want to give a shout-out to Timothy Michael McKernan. He's having a baby soon.
Thanks for the breaking news.
Yeah, appreciate that. This has been a fabulous call so far.
Screw you, you old man.
Oh, my God.
Going back to Wentzville.
He's a delight.
Going back to Wentzville.
He's a delight.
He's not a delight.
He is. Even if he takes his shots, he's delightful.
A lot of text coming in on Iggy in a few years. Let's see. Iggy will look like a raisin in 4 months. That's from Timmy Recaps. And I believe, is he CJ6, Iggy? Or is...
Yeah, he is.
In 40 years, Iggy will still be creeping on chiclets. In 40 years, Iggy will be standing around looking like the guy from Tales from the Crypt. And then take a bath in battery acid, Adam. So they come in, Doug, they come in fast, and they come in furious. But the wonderful thing is we're going to get to hang out with all the listeners in 3 weeks at Tappawingo, Jack. Wow, wow, wow. It's coming. The Free Dotem Open, the second annual GFI Digital Free Dotem Open, is at Tappawingo National Golf Club on July 7th. Presented by Michelob Ultra, Bertarelli Cutlery, Marishan Insurance, Victory Men's Health, Twin Peaks, William Grant & Sons, 188 Fine Men's Salon and Hot Shots. It's $500 per foursome, including 18 holes of golf, cart, lunch, booze, and the awards party. And portions of the proceeds benefit Three Little Birds for Life and the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. Only a handful of foursomes remain. Sign up your team today using the free Dotem Open link on InsideSTL.com. We will be broadcasting there at 7 a.m. We tee off at 10 a.m. It's July 7th at Tapawingo National. Unbelievable.
Unbelievable. You know?
And because we moved dates, we sold it out in 12 hours, but because we moved dates, now we have a few available spots. So if you want to get in there, here we go. Here we go.
Here we go.
Still some spots available, huh?
Yeah. Because some people had to bail when we moved it from May to July with the flooding at Tapawingo.
You're waving around rolled up papers like you're Artie from Larry Sanders.
Great reference.
Yeah.
That's or Hank Stram. Reference.
Hank Stram did that?
Yeah. He would coach with a
and Jerry Tarkanian would bite a stack of papers.
A towel, not paper.
Tim, this is Travis the percussionist. Can we get lunch sometime?
He's asking you out?
I guess so. Yeah, I'm into that. Is that cool?
Well, maybe he can play your bongos.
It's not cheating if it's gay. That's part of our marital vows. Okay. It was awkward for the families.
You came to that agreement.
Right. Yeah, Pastor Peter... He just read the vows that we had and just kind of like it was like a brief digression.
Right in the middle of it all.
Right.
It's not cheating if it's gay. And you said, I do.
Right.
And she said, is it too late to get out of this?
I mean, not with a man specimen like me standing before her.
Boy, she puts up with a lot.
What do you
Boy.
Mean? I don't understand.
Yeah.
But a lot of that stuff God that bless she her. Puts up with now will be coming to an end soon.
I understand.
Right. Because she will be solely in charge once there's a child in the house.
Well, the baby will be in charge. Its needs first, then the mom who takes care of most of those right. needs, and then Tim's needs will be...
Right.
If you look at the operating agreement, it says I actually have final say.
Yeah, well...
Sometimes operating agreements aren't actually reality.
Yeah, tell that to an enraged mama bear.
Doug, it's time for the Hot Shots email of the day. It's unbelievable. Well, you have Misty Plops and Stephen Wildwood both with three... You have Bill Pullman's Independence Day speech and Madhu Bulls at Hanks at 2. And then a lot of people are kind of putting some money on Mario in Chicago to make a run. So this is fun.
I don't think anybody's putting money on anything.
Doug, I just wanted to say thank you. Thank you for always being in my corner. You've been there for me time and time again. You're a great listener, and it's hard for me to say this, but I love you. Could have been my closest confidant, and I'm not sure I would even be alive if it weren't for you. You are the sun in my sky, the apple of my eye, and the guy who turned me by. Thank you, Doug. Rene Arocha. Boy, there it is.
Didn't care for
I knew it was going on.
There was a connection.
Rene Arocha. He's new.
Hey, kiddos. So I'm saddling in with Creep Flicks to binge watch the new season of Orange is the New Skin, starring the great Kenneth Strode with guest star Janine Lindemulder. The first episode was like something out of The Wolf of Wall Street, featuring some high-powered, bare-knuckled, high-dollar negotiations between Iggy and Janine over a trip to St. Louis. She insisted that she wouldn't come unless she could take her little piglets up the arch. Iggy said the closest he could come to a pig promise would be to go up in the arch with her and his browned-up, wrinkled, bacon-like epidermis. Epidermis?
Epidermis, yeah.
I'm sure nothing would be more comforting to a young lass like Janine than being stuck in that little egg elevator with Iggy on the way up the arch. Great start to the new season, Leatherface. That's some Webster ween peek.
Why are people so mean and angry? Webster Ween Peeker.
Guys, Plops here. Tim, first off, I'd like to apologize for my disqualifying email yesterday. Guess with the new baby on the way for you, I'm just feeling insecure. I feel like my days of being called your number one dandy boy might be limited, and I'm scared, Tim. To make matters worse, I wasn't invited to Larry's graduation party last night, which was just a sucker punch to the taint. I did, however...
no.
I did, however, meet up with him a few hours later and gave him a present suitable for a 40-year-old graduating with an associate's after an 11-year run through the halls of the LNC. I went with him over to that damn jack-in-the-box. You know the one who felt his, Well, we pulled up alongside the drive-thru window, put on Joyride by Roxette, and I let the college boy take me from behind while sat nude on a ninja motorcycle with my big ass hanging off the back. Showed those bastards what's up. But as far as continuing right in, maybe sending these tales of my comings and comings would be better suited for Joy FM or Y98. Somewhere, my words could be read under the intro of Josh Groban's new Yahweh-inspired cut, and the DJ could really hit the post. I guess I'd say that I'm just not committed to the show.
Wrap it up.
It's too long, Tim.
My decision is pending. And FYI, Phillips and Company has scheduled a meeting with me for later today at Roxy's. And I've got brunch tomorrow at PT's with Joy FM. So prepare for a bidding war, sluts. Doug, that's from Misty Plops, who looks like he's on the market.
Misty Plops.
Morn, in honor of Doug Vaughn. Tongue bathe my mud flaps. Taste my chocolate corn loaf. Mmm, sexy scat treats. Think about it. Doug, that's from Tunnels 12,000.
His name is going right on the suspension log. All Tunnels 12,000 has been suspended. It's been suspended a period of 2 days' time. His name will be reflected as much in the Hot Shots leather-bound suspension logule. Right Business Products provided the ink pen.
Doug, well, hello, ladies. Val Venus voice. I believe that means I was supposed to do it in Val Venus's voice. You know Val Venus?
I don't.
You know what? I don't think I do.
He was a WWE wrestler in the 90s.
I know Venus Flytrap, who's a DJ on WKRP.
It's been a second since I emailed, but I have been so gosh darn busy. Sir Plops has been on a run, so it's time to get after it like Doug at a Boy Scout camp. As the WNBA season ramps up, all I can think about is how nice it would be to have a solid franchise here in the Mound City. It still pains me inside to look up at the dimly lit Dr. Pepper sign at the Dome and yearn for the days of Greg Robinson and the rest of that magical draft haul from the Redskins. Anyhow, have to run. Stay cute. Hugs and kisses. That's from Tony Bank.
Tony Bank. Bank. He's new.
How to write a winning email. By the Rat in Bloomsdale, three-time Fox Sports Robot Award winner. Sorry it's been so long. My wife made me get a job. I heard you discussing what makes a good email, and I'm here to set the record straight. Mix in any of the following what you craft, and you'll be swimming in lemmings lunches. Number one, write a filthy haiku. Add the words clam or boy mud for loads of laugh. Number two, make fun of the producers. In my day, picking on Ibon was like shooting fish in a barrel. Now you have one guy who's a Canton stoner and the other guy who's orange and fabricates stories. It's too easy. Number three, rant about the Cardinals. Make sure you're a jerko for taking off to be there for the birth of his child. Cap it off with a tired of it. It's guaranteed victory. Number four, sprinkle in C-list celebrities like Jack Sue or Roxy Roker. And number five, most important, never copy the style of Bill Pullman. That guy sucks. His emails are lame. Good luck, the Rat in Bloomsdale, also known as Bill Pullman's Independence Day speech.
Bill Pullman's Independence Day speech.
Hey, boys, great Pog Talk today. It was really insightful. However, I'm more interested in Pod Talk. You know, fat-ass white dads. The type of sexy papas where their guts and butts protrude out the same distance. And when they bend over, their back pubic hair hangs out like a Brillo pad. Mmm, so hot. I usually hang out at Cracker Barrel and pick them off left and right. I'm not sure what they're eating over there at Cracker Barrel. Probably country fried steak and biscuits. But man, is that place pod heaven. I'll be ponied up there for Father's Day, rocking on the porch, playing oversized checkers, and getting after that daddy fat. Hope to see you all there. There's plenty to go around. That's from the Butler Hill Butt Filler. And Doug, that's what we have for the Hot Shots email today.
I was going to go Webster Wienpeeker, a little too vile. So instead, I'm going to go with Bill Pullman.
I'm going to go with a fellow by the name of Bill Pullman's Independence
Bill
Day
Pullman's
speech.
Bill Pullman's Independence Day speech has just shipped the email today. And now we have a three-way tie at the top. Wow. Wow. God, I'm not going to be here for the final, like, seven shows of June. Maybe I should not go to Hilton Head.
Yeah, blow that off. What's important in your life?
You could Skype. Why don't you Skype the email?
And then I could vote?
Yeah, probably so.
Or take one of those little remote boxes with you.
Doug, we got to shut it down. You said Danny Schwartz is our insurance agent sponsor of the Gong.
Right.
And I said Four Seasons Penske Truck is the sponsor of the Cats Road Trips. Just look for the big gold truck. And Lion's Choice is the sponsor of this handoff to Frank Cusimano and the Hollywood Casino Press Box. For the Plowhawk, for Iggy, for the Sea Monster, for my brother Kevin, for Douglas Elvin Vaughn, and for Jimmy the Cat Hayes, I'm Tim McKernan. This has been the Ryan Kelly Morning After on 590 The Fan, KFNS, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios.